Good morning. Welcome to worship on another rainy day. I think we're setting some sort of record for most consecutive rainy Sundays, but we're glad that you're here nevertheless. There's a lot of things coming up in the next month or so please do take a few moments with this announcements page if you're not in the habit of doing so. Want to make sure you know that this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. So we will have about a 30-minute service on Wednesday night with the imposition of ashes. That starts at 7 o'clock. I hope that you'll plan to be with us for that as we remember our mortality and have that sign marked on our head with ashes. Coming up this Friday night is the silly dance. So if you're if you've got kids or grandkids involved in silly, I think Tina needs to know who's coming probably immediately so she can order the things that she needs to order. And then as we look beyond this week to next week, we will begin our Lenten midweek services. And we've got the first Lenten midweek service covered in terms of a meal. The men are going to do the meal that night. If your group or family would be interested in doing a meal for any of the other services during Lent, please contact the church office and let us know. And then we want to make sure that you know that the 25th of this month, during the Sunday school hour, we're going to have another multi-generational faith formation event. We did one of these back in the fall, and we had a lot of fun, and we're going to do that again. So that's inviting everybody from little ones up to big ones to join us for that. We'll do breakfast together, and we'll walk through a lesson together, sing some songs. So hope you'll plan to join us for that. And then the congregational meeting is coming up on the 25th of February. Did people get notices in the mail? Did those go out already?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So hopefully you already knew about that, but that's our audit meeting and then a couple other small things to look at. And then my last plug I'm going to put in is to say Synod Assembly will be in the first weekend in June, and we will need two voting representatives at Synod Assembly. So if that's something that you'd be interested in, please speak with me about that. That's in Raleigh this year, but we'll put you up in a hotel. So let me know about that. And then I got word this morning of a couple of deaths that we wanted to share with you folks who have been known in this community. Robert Everhart passed away, who I gather folks knew from the American Legion. Is that right? Kay Hodge, who is grandmother to the Lohr girls, also passed away last night or yesterday. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. I don't have any details on any arrangements for anything, but we heard that news and wanted to pass it on. I know that next Sunday, handbells are going to practice for those who have been involved in handbells or who want to learn to be involved in handbells next Sunday at 4. Judy mentioned to me that we're switching the first communion hymn. It's not going to be what's up there. It'll be 474, not what's in the bulletin. It'll be 474 for the first communion hymn. So sing with us on the communion hymns. You're invited to sing with us on the communion hymns. Neil is motioning. He's got something to tell us. Neil suggested that since we were many in spirit but few in physical presence last week with the dicey weather, we had a basket offering last week for the youth. We will pass that again today since there were many people not able to be there. If you gave last week, bless you and thank you. But just in case there's anybody who wasn't able to be here last week to support that trip to Houston and wanted to this week, we'll pass that basket again after our normal offering. Ty, will you come this way and share an announcement with us, sir? If you want to step to that microphone right there, that might be great.
We're having a Captain's Choice Golf Tournament on March the 10th, and it's going to be a golf tournament to raise money for the backpack program. And if you want to join, there's a sign-up sheet down in the hall, and it'll be $50 per player. And if you want to buy mulligans, it'll be $5 a piece. And if you have any questions, please contact me at 336-250-0978. Winding Creek.
When he said we are having a golf tournament, Ty and some of his friends put this together to raise money for our backpack program that we do for Davis Townsend. And he told me this morning that he was in homeroom and his teacher was talking about helping other people, and he thought we should help raise some money for our backpack program. So hope many of you can play in that golf tournament if you're the golfing type, or if not, like me, maybe you can help us spread the word about the tournament, and Ty's got all the details. Thank you, Ty. I know we have at least one card to read this morning. I don't know about prayer shawls.
So I have a thank you card, and it's addressed to women of Holly Grove, but it's really appropriate for all of us to hear. Thank you for making a prayer shawl and letting Bobby bring it to me at the hospital. All the nurses and the doctors at the hospital knew what it was, and every time I had to go for a test, they would ask me if I needed it with me, and of course I would. It brought so much comfort knowing that each one prayed over it. It is so kind that you would send it to someone outside of your church. Thank you again for your Christian love. It helped me a lot while in the hospital and at home. Love in Christ, Ricky Ann Bibben, and that's Bobby Fritz's sister. So I also have greetings from the fellowship committee. It is Valentine's Day on Wednesday. Did everybody get a kiss? A chocolate kiss? There was also a heart in someone's bulletin. I have a gift card for the owner of that bulletin. Oh boy. Like last year, nobody got it. It was in the front, the bit where the on the inside flap, the very first page. It was in the first couple, so somebody you look in the bulletins that are left back there, see if what? Oh boy. This happened last year. What is my backup plan? What? Gavin has it? All right.
To Kara, to Tina, to David, to Conrad, to John Michael, and to Raven. We don't know about any anniversaries. I just heard this morning that Conrad's birthday is on Wednesday, but instead of having his party on Wednesday, they're going to celebrate today, and he can come to Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, which I think is pretty cool. If anyone needed to know, now you can come and wish Conrad a happy birthday on Wednesday. So there you go, right? And today is Carol's happy birthday. Well, I just told you happy birthday. Let's pray for Carol and Conrad and all those folks with special occasions this week. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. stand as our worship begins on page 94. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for His sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the resplendent light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son and illumine the world with your image. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me up here for the children's message. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I brought a book with me this morning about somebody who goes through a big, big change in what they look like, okay? It's a caterpillar. You are exactly right. Has anybody ever read this book? This is a book about a caterpillar. So, this caterpillar starts off right here. What is that? Does anybody know? That's an egg. The caterpillar starts off in this egg and then hatches out of the egg. And that's a pretty big change, right? To go from an egg to looking very different as this little caterpillar, right? That's a big change. Did you know that it doesn't stay a caterpillar?
No.
Something else happens, right? It eats and it eats and it eats and it eats all of this food, and it eats some fruit, and then it eats a lot of junk food, right? And it gets really big. Do caterpillars really eat junk food?
No.
I don't think so. But in this story, and all of a sudden, it's not a little caterpillar anymore. Look how much he's changed. He's a big caterpillar now, isn't he? Yeah.
I know what's going to happen.
You know what's going to happen? Okay. He did get a tummy ache. You're right. You've read this book before. The caterpillar changes what he looks like a whole lot, and so he's big now, and he makes a house for himself called a cocoon. He wraps this cocoon around himself, and look, he looks very different again, doesn't he? He's changed, so he looks very different there. And then something incredible happens. You think you know, Mason? He turns into a beautiful butterfly. Oh my goodness. He looks so different, doesn't he? Yeah, but it's the same caterpillar, right? I mean, except now he looks different. He's a butterfly, right? Yeah, but that's so much change. He looks completely different, doesn't he? Well, we are going to hear a lesson today in church about how Jesus changes and looks very different, okay? Jesus is walking with his disciples, and they go on a hike up this mountain, and they get to the top of the mountain, and all of a sudden, Jesus looks very different. He looks sort of like himself, but his face is shining, and all his clothes are bright white, and he's almost so bright and shiny that you can't even look at him. And it's amazing how different he looks, but it's the same Jesus. And what we're seeing is a little bit of the God shining out through Jesus. And it's an amazing thing. Now, did you guys know that you've been through a big change?
Yeah.
You've been through a big change, but you look the same. I can't tell from looking at you. But we had a big change for most of you guys, and we're going to do one for Rye here one of these days soon. It was a big, big change. We took you and we poured water on you, and we baptized you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that was a big change in you. And God claimed you and said, "You are my precious child, and I love you, and you are mine forever." And something in you was transformed. That's right. Something in you was transformed. And we celebrate that, and we're so thankful for that, for the way that God has worked to bring change in us through our baptism, and the way that God calls us to change and care and love for God and others, which is pretty cool. Will you guys pray for me? Pray with me. You don't have to pray for me right now. You can pray for me later. I would appreciate it. But right now, we're going to pray together. Okay? Repeat after me. Lord God, you transform us with light. Change us to care for others. Amen. Okay, thank you guys. We're going to head to Children's Church this way. If you go to Children's Church, you can line up at the door, okay?
The first reading is from 2 Kings. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them. As they both were standing by the Jordan, then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 50, and it will be read responsively. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Our
Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Let heaven declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your fathers, as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud, there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Be seated. So this caterpillar story that we just read up here is one of the standbys at my house now. Could about go through by memory. But I was struck that this whole, the caterpillar's whole entire life is about change, right? Dramatic change from egg to being outside in the world. Dramatic change going from a tiny little caterpillar to one that takes up the whole page. Dramatic change of going into a cocoon, and then, of course, the big finale, dramatic change of coming out as a butterfly. The whole existence of this caterpillar is about tremendous change. And in some ways, that feels kind of familiar to me, because we know something about change, right? Anybody got a little box in their pocket that they use to call their friends and family and to check the news for the day? Yeah, if you've got a phone, you know that change happens rapidly, and about as soon as you learn where all the settings are, it's time for a new one, right? Or if there's an app or a program you use at home or at work, every time the new one comes out, you're in for a surprise, right? Change is our constant. And of course, there are changes that affect us much more profoundly than the changes in technology that we have to deal with. We've got four high school seniors right now at Holly Grove, and I've been talking with some of them this week, and they're starting to envision what life is going to look like for them as they finish up this phase of their education and they step out into the world. It's a big change coming for them. And then, of course, there are those among us who have already had to come to terms with big changes in their bodies, right? We've had a lot of joints and muscles lately not working the way that they used to. Then there are the biggest changes that we're forced into, the change that happens when somebody we love dies and is not here anymore, and we're left to pick up the pieces as best we can. Throughout our lives, change is a constant. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and it's a Sunday about change, the change that the disciples observe on the mountain. Jesus was transfigured before them. Transfiguration is not really a word we use a lot in day-to-day conversation, but the Greek word actually in this case might be more familiar. It's metamorpho, and we've heard that before, right? It's what the little caterpillar did in the storybook. Metamorphosis is the word that comes through from that. It's about drastic change, going into the cocoon as a caterpillar, basically a worm with legs, and coming out a majestic butterfly with the power of flight. That's a big change. Or in the case of Jesus on this mountaintop, it's a drastic change to his appearance. Suddenly, Jesus is transformed somehow, we don't know exactly, but before their eyes, his clothes become dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. Jesus' appearance changes, revealing for a moment the divinity shining through his face. But as impressive as the temporary change in Jesus might be, I would hope that the lasting change from this encounter may be in the disciples who witness it all, in Peter, James, and John, who see all of this happen, and then who literally hear a voice from the clouds, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." That voice, that address, it's not about changing how Jesus behaves, right? But about changing the way the disciples do. Listen to him. Listen to his predictions of betrayal, death, and resurrection that is coming for him. That is to be trusted. Listen when he shows you, when he tells you what kind of Messiah he is. Not a Messiah who sets out to conquer, but one who comes to heal. A Messiah who calls his followers not to arms, but to repentance. A Messiah who has great power, but who chooses the cross for our sake. A Messiah who in love gives his life and then masters death for us. Listen to him. The path that Jesus calls the disciples to, calls us to, is not an easy one, and it's often not what we want to hear, right? The path of sacrifice, not glory. The path on which we have to lose some of our priorities and our comfort, perhaps in extreme circumstances, maybe even very lives, for the sake of finding true life in Christ. It's an awful lot of change. And it's not something that happens in us overnight. If we're going to change, to move closer to the people that God calls us to be, it takes some work, some practice, right? Which maybe is part of the reason why Transfiguration Sunday, with all of its dramatic change front and center, always falls right before we begin the season of Lent. Lent, which is the time of year that we tell the story of Jesus' journey to the cross, the story of this beloved Son who willingly dies to take away the sin of the world. We tell this dark part of the story, complete with suffering and death, because without death, there can't be any resurrection, right? Without Good Friday, there is no way we can understand what all the fuss is about on Easter morning. And for the church, Lent has always been a time of self-reflection. It's a time built into the church year that's meant to interrupt our day-to-day routines, interrupt our babbling with the word of the Lord, and to help us get our priorities straight. To hold the mirror up to our spiritual lives and ask where there need to be some changes made. It's an opportunity every Lent for us through disciplines like intentional prayer, fasting, reading of scriptures. It's an opportunity to open ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit who can work some change in us so that we can become more compatible with the kingdom that God has created in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that even now, before that kingdom comes in its fullness, we can start to be transformed for this new creation that is certain and secured, even if we can't always see it and touch it in the here and now, to start to be transformed for the kingdom where God is at work and where we ought to expect God to show up at any minute to bring in the fullness of God's reign. That's the real world, as much as it might look otherwise. That's the real world where death is not the last word. So how would we act if we could change our perspective so that that's the real world that we lived in? That's what shaped our choices and our decisions. What would it mean for how we invest our time and our relationships? How would it change how we invest our treasure? How would it change how we cared for our neighbors here and across the world? We're bold to proclaim that Jesus has died and that Jesus has been raised, and that means that everything we thought we knew about the world before that has changed. It's all given way to God's kingdom. And if we forget that day to day in our trudging, well, we need opportunities to be interrupted. We need a reminder that everything has changed. And Lent is the perfect season for that. So I hope that you will pick a discipline this Lent that interrupts your routine somehow and reorients you to the reality of God's kingdom. If giving up something does that for you, that's wonderful. Do that. But it may be the case for some of us that you can have your chocolate and your sweets, but that you need to carve out some intentional time for prayer or Bible study to refocus on God's reality. I'm remembering in this very moment that I have some tools for you if you're interested in doing that, some devotionals that sit in the box across the street in the office. So I'll certainly have those out here on Wednesday night, or if you want to pick one up between now and then so you have one for Wednesday, to carve out this time of devotion, of focus on God's reality. But pick something that works for you, and if you don't know what's going to work for you, it's okay. Just try something, and we can call it a holy experiment, and it may yield great results, or it may yield the results that say, next time I need to do something different, right? But do something to try to realign, to try to change your world so that it looks a little more like God's kingdom. Because we do believe and we trust that God is at work to redeem this world and make all things new. That is our reality as the followers of Christ. So take the opportunity this Lent to get a grip on that reality, to interrupt your life and your routine and let your perspective be changed. And when you do, expect to encounter the Lord. Amen.
Let us confess what we believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
Confident that God, our light and our salvation, hears us when we pray, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. We pray, God, for the ministry of the gospel proclaimed in word and deed. We lift up congregations far and near, and for all who show the face of Christ throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray, God, for the well-being of creation, for plants and animals, seas and skies, and creatures seen and unseen, that all may be guided by your Holy Spirit to be stewards of our earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for firefighters and police officers, for attorneys and advocates, for civil servants and corporate executives, and leaders of governments, that through their insight and patience, peace and justice would prevail throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Madeline, Barbara, Bill and Betty, the family of Steve, Gracie, Marshall and Billy, Billy, Emily, Alice, David, Scott, Jeff, the family of Bob, Chuck, Ricky Ann, Boyd, Tanya, Kim and Mike, Craig, Jody, Elena and Kelly, David and Kelly, Bobby, the family of Dorothy, Brianna, Kay, Brad, David, the family of Robert, the family of Kay, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for companions who accompany us on our journey through life, for this community of faith that supports us, and for guidance during difficult times, that we would see the glory of God revealed around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak them. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
our
praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit,
our purpose is by worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to the needs of those who are
go in peace, serve the Lord.